Remain standing, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 10 through 15 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 15, verses 10 through 15. John chapter 15, verses 10 through 15. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray. You may be seated after we pray, and then we'll jump right into the sermon. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. We stand before you, and you have blessed us beyond measure, but we're still needy. We still need you, and Lord, maybe our world needs this truth tonight more than virtually any other truth. The world seems to be crumbling around us, and man can't figure out why, but if we just go back to you, we could figure it out. I pray that you'd help us tonight in a special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 15 is a very special passage of Scripture to me personally. Number one, it's just a phenomenal passage of Scripture. This one doesn't sound quite right, does it? But it's okay, Brother Barnes. I'll stay right here. I won't wander around too much. But John chapter... thank you, by the way. John 15 is special not only because its content. I personally believe... I can't prove it, but I personally believe this was kind of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane just before Calvary. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me, and I don't have to agree with you. It's just kind of what I believe, but may not be. But it's also special to me. I don't remember how old I was, probably 9, 10, 11 years old. We were having Bible school at church. And we were memorizing scriptures. Well, some stupid girl was memorizing as many verses as I was, and I was trying to win a Bible so I could give it to my mother. And came down to Wednesday, we had memorized the whole sheet. We had Thursday and Friday to go, and they said, okay, memorize John chapter 15. So in 2 days, I memorized the whole chapter. And I beat her by about two verses, but you say, why? Because I'm not letting no girl beat me, amen? And so I won that Bible. I think my mom still has that Bible somewhere. It's been well used, but it's a very practical passage. Now, we Christians are not supposed to be like the world in any way. I believe this is especially true concerning friendship. Most Christians are... And please allow me to say this and let me back it up here. Most Christians are worldly in their philosophy of friendship. We have come out of the world, but we brought the world's philosophy of friendship with us, and we've not accepted biblical philosophy of friendship. And I know that's a little bit of an oxymoron, but allow me a little digression there. Many have come out of the world, but you've brought the world's philosophy of friendship with you. Tonight, I want to help you. I want you to open your mind. I want you to open your heart. I want you to open your spirit to the truth and allow God to work. I want the Holy Spirit to retrain you. Monty and Brother Mike, it's okay. Folks, we've got folks coming in. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Everything's all right in our Father's house. Amen. But I want to talk to you tonight about friendship. I am in no way asking anybody in this room to give up any friends. I'm not asking anybody in this room, and look at me, I'm not asking anybody to necessarily change friends, but I want you to change what kind of friend you are. It will revolutionize your life. I want you to see what God says about friendship. Now look at me. John chapter 15 is very interesting. And before I go any farther, I have to say this. Those are God's words. Those are not my words. Those were written before man. They're not written by man. They were penned by man, but God gave them word by word. Matter of fact, some of them he even took his own finger and wrote them with. But those are God's words, not man's words. Therefore, we can trust them. You see, if I give you my words, they're not always going to be trustworthy because I'm a sinner just like you are. So we've got to be careful. Now, the Bible says that friendship is the most important of all loves. I want you to notice, look at verse number 13 and 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the love of friends, in God's words, are the greatest, or is the greatest love there is. By the way, that's why he said in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, but friends. He said, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Notice the command. But in verse 12, what was the command? That you love one another. And you love one another as friends. And that is the greatest of all loves. Marriages are strained and crumble and damaged because of friendship. Parent-child relationships are strained and often crumble because the damage done in the friendship, in the relationship. Pastor people crumble with one another from time to time. And a lot of times it's due because of the friendship that is damaged in the relationship. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus called it the greatest love. He said, greater love hath no man than this. Whew. I don't know about you, but when God says, greater love hath no man than this, that's about as high as it gets. I want you to notice, he didn't say it was the love of a mother for a child. I want you to notice he didn't say it's the love of a wife for a husband or a husband for a wife. I want you to notice he didn't say it's the love of a son for a mama or a daughter for a daddy. He said, greater love hath no man than this. And that is the love between friends. He didn't say that it's the love that a pastor has for a people. He didn't say that it was for a people, for a pastor. He said that it was friendship. Now, Jesus himself said that friendship is the greatest of loves. I hate to tell you this. There really is no relationship unless there is the love of friendship. Jesus did not call himself father. He did not call himself priest. He did not call himself pastor. He didn't call himself pope. And he didn't call himself anything else. He said, I'm not even going to call you servants. I'll call you friends. Wow. Wow. Now, I'm not for this casual hippie generation, freak out weirdo, you know, Jesus love, all this other garbage. That's a bunch of bunk. That's trying to bring deity down to man. It's time to bring man up to deity. God has blessed my life with many deep and wonderful relationships. You hear of the successful ones, but there are thousands that aren't as successful in my life. There are some friends and relationships I've had that I haven't talked to folks in 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 plus years. Say why? My friendship has not stopped, but our time together has stopped. Now, I want to give you three thoughts about friendship from the Word of God and bring us up to a biblical perspective of friendship. I call it glued or not. Glued or not. Now, listen to me very carefully. I have to lay a foundation. These points build one upon another, so listen very carefully. Number one, Jesus said that friendship is laying down your life. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that probably most everybody in this room has heard the wrong way. That does not mean that you go die for somebody and that proves your friendship. If that's the case, you can only have one friend in life. Because you can only die once, just so you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This does not mean that you die for someone, because you could only experience that one time in your life. Laying down your life means you give up your desires for the sake of someone else. You put what you want aside to give someone else what they want. I love my wife so much that I'll put aside what I want to give her what she wants. That's called friendship. I love Brother Gus. If I found out Brother Gus wanted something, I'd make sure he got it. If I could do it. You say, why? I would put something I want aside to make sure she got, or he got, what he wanted. I got my he's and she's mixed up. Got to be careful these days. Laying down your life does not mean you take a bullet for somebody. Laying down your life means you set aside what you want to make sure somebody else gets what they want. Losing desire for what you want to help someone else get what they want is real friendship. Giving up your happiness for the happiness of somebody else is friendship. Can I tell you how to have a happy marriage? Forget yourself and give your spouse what they want. Ladies, that means you forget what you want and give him what he wants. Fellas, that means you forget what you want and give her what she wants. Can I tell you that makes a happy marriage? Can I tell you what makes happy child-parent relationships? And I realize the younger the child, the less friendship there is and the more parent there is. But good night. I've got a, how old's Josh, 23? My wife had to think on that one. I don't feel so bad, right? But I've got a 23-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 17-year-old. My children, I've lost virtually the ability to tell them what to do. They're adults. Now, my daughter still lives at home, and she'll still do what I tell her to do, but I don't want her to necessarily do it just because she has to. I want her to love and respect her mom and dad as friends, enough to where she'll do it because that's what we do. I told my daughter this year at Christmas, you don't get dad anything. We're going to splurge on mom. Boy, did we splurge on mom. We've had fun. We redid the kitchen. I gave her enough money to totally redo our kitchen. It's the first time in 25 plus years of marriage we've been able to do it. I sold a gun. I did all kinds of stuff behind her back. Told her I met a police officer. She thought I was out just making a visit. I sold my gun to a police officer. Amen. It was exciting. And I won't go through the story. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want anything. I wanted her to have what she wanted. You say, did you ask her what she wanted? She had no idea it was coming. I don't go to my wife and say, okay, here's a list. What do you want? Write down the list. I'll get you everything on the list. That's not love. That's Sears and Roebuck, and you're the order form. I look for things to spoil my wife. I look for ways to show her that I love her and put aside some of the things I want so that she can have what she wants. Same thing with my daughter. Say, why do you do things like that? I did that with my daughter-in-law. My daughter-in-law was in town. I went and bought my wife something very nice for Mother's Day. And while I was out, my daughter was with me. I picked something out for my daughter-in-law. And I said, think Ruth Ann would like that? Oh, yeah. I said, okay. So I got it for her. Now, you ask Ruth Ann what she wants. Oh, I don't want anything. So I didn't ask her. I just did it. I did what I thought she would want. Everybody doing all right? That's called friendship. That's called relationship. So Jesus said that friendship is laying down your life. That doesn't mean you die. It means you put your desire aside to give the person you love what they want. Everybody doing all right? By the way, fellas, you don't look at your wife and say you don't love me if you don't get my new gun. That's you being selfish. Ladies, that's not saying you tell your husband, well, if I don't get this, then you don't love me. It doesn't work that way. You're not worried about what you want. My birthday is coming in the near future. And my wife said, I already know what you're going to say, but do you want anything? Nope. I really don't want anything. Say why? I'm having more fun giving than I am getting any day. I love giving. I'm not worried about me. As long as I can poke the pie hole a little bit and keep me from dwindling away, which I've done quite well, I'm doing all right. Now, number two, friendship can only be given. It cannot be exchanged. Let me say that again. Friendship can only be given. It cannot be exchanged. Jesus did not say, exchange your love. He said, your love is to be given. Let me show you what I mean. If I said to Brother Stoltz, come on up here, Brother Stoltz, I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend, that is an exchange. Did you know I can be Brother Stoltz's friend if he's never my friend? I don't need him to be a friend back to me for me to be his friend. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Now, I've known Brother Stoltz for over 30 years. Brother Stoltz is my friend. But may I say this, I don't need Brother Stoltz to do anything for me for him to be my friend. That means Brother Stoltz could mess up. That means Brother Stoltz could get uglier. He could be unkind, but he'd still be my friend. Say why? Because I am to give my friendship. I'm not to exchange it. Remember when you were in grade school? I'll be your friend if you'll be mine. Sign here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Okay. We've all done that. Can I tell you something? That's not friendship. Friendship is given. It's not exchanged. Friends give themselves, and it's not to be bargained for. Biblical friendship is unconditional. It's not exchanged. Do you know that I love Jimmy Shade no matter what Jimmy Shade does? And Erica knows that's not easy to do, amen? I love Brother Jimmy. It does not matter. Say why? It's unconditional. Is Jimmy perfect? No. What man is? And ladies, what woman is? Okay? Equal rights here, amen? Friendship is not based on what you get back. Friendship is based on what you give. We have this worldly philosophy that, well, if my friend doesn't do something for me, then they're really not my friend anymore. You can't look at somebody and say, you're not my friend anymore because you never were their friend because you're expecting something back for your friendship. Amen. Did I just lose half of you? I have friends that I totally disagree with doctrinally. They're still my friend. As long as we don't talk about those things that we disagree about, guess what? We'll still remain friends. Recently, in the last several months, I had a friend of mine call me. He has changed. Does not believe the same doctrines he used to believe. I was cordial. I was kind. I even declined to meet with him so as to not create conflict. After he was done going through what he said, There was a little pause. I said, Doc, can I ask you a question? And you could feel the tension over the phone. I mean, it was like, and it was, yeah. He was waiting to see if I was going to pick a fight. I said, how's your family? You could hear him sigh. We talked for about another 45 seconds. Conversation was done. I didn't say one time what I disagreed with him about. Say why? He's my friend. It's not what I get back. It's what I want to give. He's still sucking air. There's a chance he'll find out he was wrong and come the right direction. I'll be his friend. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on here. Norman Vincent Peale years ago wrote a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. You don't win friends, you are a friend. His whole philosophy is wrong.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That is deadly poison. You don't win friends. You are a friend. By the way, you say, how do you know that? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. I want to show you something that will shock you. Matthew chapter 26. Let's start reading in verse 47. Matthew chapter 26. Let's start reading in verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, what's the next word?
Friend.
Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Jesus called Judas Iscariot at the betrayal his friend. Notice something. Judas didn't do anything back for him. Jesus was Judas's friend. Judas was not Jesus' friend at that time. Jesus said, I'm close to you, whether you're close to me or not. I can love you and put what I want aside so that you can get what you wanted. Judas wanted the money. Jesus wanted the relationship. Now, Judas was not a friend to Jesus, but Jesus was a friend to Judas. If you are a friend, it will not enter your mind whether or not the person is meeting your needs. Do you know, I better back up. I rarely, if ever, worry about my needs with my wife and I. I want her to have her needs. Now, we all have those selfish times. When I get them, I say, it's not about me, it's about her. I don't worry about whether my daughter loves her puppy dog more than she loves me. Sometimes I wonder, but I don't worry about it. You say, why? Because the puppy dog can't pay the bills. I can, amen? She can't ask the puppy dog for a new dress, but she can ask me. I say that to say this. I don't worry about what I get in return. I do wonder what I can do for them. I do look for needs and desires they might have. Friendship is not getting, it's giving. Can I tell you how to have a good relationship, husband and wife? Give the other what they want and not worry about what you get in return. Fellas, you can go out and buy all the nice flowers and do whatever, and maybe you had an ulterior motive and you didn't get your ulterior motive. Don't get ticked off. Your motive wasn't right. It was to give, not for you to get in something in exchange. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. Parenting is the same way. Boys and girls will try to pit one mom or one dad against one another. Well, Dad, I'll do this if I get this. Oh, no, you're going to do that. You're supposed to do it because it's the right thing to do. Now, when your children get older, it sure is fun to watch them love the right way. If you have ever had two boys in your home, it's an exciting adventure. God did not make boys to get along. You get two guys in a room, one of them's got to be the leader, and both want to be it. That's why they're always time beating each other up and knocking each other around. You know, the guy with the fewest knots is the guy that wins. Amen. And you're going to watch. It's fun. You thought these two boys, they will never, ever, ever get along in life. They're going to hate each other the rest of their life. As soon as they leave home, start their own lives, have their own dominion started, guess what? It's like they have been the best buddies forever. It's the strangest thing. They can't tolerate each other all the time. But when they're together, it's okay. They're friends. They've learned how to become friends. Can I tell you something? It doesn't have to be that way. Church members, did you know that you can be friends with one another? I'm going to make a statement. Be careful as people leave your area of influence. Some will move away, some will stay in the area, some change. You better be careful because as they start changing, you won't notice the change if you're not careful. Just pay attention. Now, here is the whole sermon. I have about 11 or 12 minutes, and this is what you came for. Here we go. Friendship is the glue that holds all relationships together. Brother Stoltz, can you give me this board here for a second? Friendship does not stand on its own. Friendship is not necessarily a relationship by itself. It is the glue that binds all relationships together. You men know what this is. This is a piece of plywood. Now, ladies, let me help you. This is a piece of 3/4 plywood, I think. It might be 1/2 inch. But there are 5 pieces of wood glued together to make that one piece of wood. Plywood, you have the grain running this way. The next layer underneath it, the grain runs this way. The next layer runs this way. The next layer runs that way. The next layer runs this way. And they put a certain hot type glue on there. And then they take giant rollers and press it together. And they lay the next sheet down on top of it. And they do the same thing till all of the sheets are laid in opposite direction with the glue. Can I tell you something? The friendship is that glue in between each layer. When you take a husband and a wife and join them together in marriage, the Bible says they twain become one flesh. And that binding is the glue of friendship. It is the friendship that holds them together. Can I tell you why divorce courts filled? Because you quit being friends. Your life was based on the physical or the emotional and not the friendship. My wife and I became friends before we loved each other. I tell young people all the time, quit worrying about dating, just be friends. God will show you which friend you're supposed to marry. If you can't get along with them as friends, you definitely aren't going to get along with them if you're married to them. I know what I'm talking about. I've worked in 2 different Bible colleges. I've watched all the cow eyes look at each other thinking, wrong start here. You better learn how to be friends. Then you watch them fight down the hallways. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm having too much fun on this one. Friendship does not stand alone. It is the glue that holds all relationships together. My daughter is my daughter by birth. Please don't take this the wrong way. There's a lot of fathers out there who have parented a child as far as birthing one, but they're lousy parents. A lot of mamas out there that have birthed a child, but they're lousy mothers. I talked with a lady this week whose grown daughter has had a child and it was addicted to crack when it was born, and she had the child so she could get more government money so she could get high more often. Left the baby with the grandma and said, "See you later, I'm gone." She may have been able to birth a child, but she's not much a mama. Everybody doing all right? Okay, listen to me very carefully. I love my daughter not just because she's my daughter. My daughter's my friend. You ought to see her and I together sometimes. We'll laugh and giggle. I'll drop her off at work. As soon as she gets out of the truck, I'm sticking my tongue out at her. I'll wait till she gets just to the door, and I on the horn. Embarrass her as she goes in. You say, why? Because that's fun. I walked into where she worked the other night, and she was like, uh-oh. I said, it's okay. You're getting off a little early. You're still open. I'm going to sit here and watch. Say, why? I wanted to watch my daughter work. Say, why? Because she's watched me work my whole life. I might as well watch her work for once. Good night. She's my friend. My wife is my friend. Everybody understand that? Did you know that the deacons and I were friends? We are. Brother Ron, as ugly as you are, you're my friend. It takes a lot of giving on that one, let me tell you. But he's my friend. Friendship is the glue that makes every relationship possible. Listen to this statement. Some of you have family members that you're not close to, and you're closer to people in this church than you are your family members. Can I tell you why? Your friendship's here. All right, hang on. So we must build the friendships in marriage for marriages to be strong. If you want your marriage to be strong, build your friendship. I'm going to make a statement here. We must be willing to be friends with our adult children, with our stepchildren, with our parents, and with our stepparents, and lay down our lives. I'm sick and tired of parents say, well, that's just my stepkid. Garbage. You've not built a friendship. Tired of children that say, well, that's my stepmom or that's my stepdad, and I just don't get along with them. It's time for you to build a friendship. Now, there's a difference between being a friend and being a buddy. I'm not my daughter's buddy. I'm her friend. I've dated my daughter. Not in the wrong way. Say why? Because I'm not about to let some toe-headed idiot that's going to sweep her off her feet that doesn't have the sense God gave a chewed-up animal cracker to take her away. I want, when it's time for her to date, to know what it's like to date a man, not a boy. Everybody doing all right? I want her to know what mature love is. And as she begins dating when she's 30, when she begins dating, I want her to say, ew, he acts like a boy, and not date him. When she's found one that's tough enough to be a man, guess what? He and I will talk. Trust me, she'll lead him down. She'll find out. And the one she doesn't, I will. If he finally makes it that far, he's probably worth keeping. Or at least investigating, amen? Now look at me. Did you know that it doesn't matter whether it's a parent or a step-parent? Whether it's a daughter or a daughter-in-law, a son or a son-in-law, did you know my daughter-in-law is just as much a part of my family as my son is? I love her as much as I love my son, maybe even more. She took him away. I mean, listen to this statement. Jesus did not ask the disciples what they wanted. He laid down his life for them. He didn't go around saying, fellas, what you want? Fellas, what you want? What would you like me to do for you today? No, he said, I got something for you. I think you're going to like this. You see, I long to give people what they want. I truly do want nothing from anybody. Now, I'm done. I want to show you one other verse that will bless your heart. Jesus wants to be your friend. He said, I henceforth call you not servants, but friend. And I want to show you a verse. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 18. If you haven't shouted, fellas, this is the one you're going to shout on. Remember, friendship is a glue that holds all relationships together. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that, what's the next word? Sticketh closer than a brother. Wow. Everybody look at me. You know what that word sticketh means?
Glued.
I love my brother. I have one biological brother and no biological sisters. Praise the Lord. But do you know there are many and probably most men in this room, I am closer to you than I am my brother. And that's not a bad thing. My brother's going to be here soon. I'll spend some time with him while he's here. And we're friends. We really are. We can get along for a few hours a day, for 3 or 4 days. Nah, we're fine. But I've given more to you than I have to him. I've given more of my life to you than I have him. Brother Barnes, I'm closer to you than I am my own brother. Brother Ron, I've spent more time with you in the last 2 weeks than I've spent with my brother in the last 2 years. Brother Taylor, you're just like a grandpa to me. No. you know, I'm closer to most. Brother Mark, I've spent more time in 1 week with you than I spend in years with my brother. And I'm closer to you. Now, I love my brother. Push come to shove, I'll fight for my brother. I have no problem with it. It's not that we don't communicate. But God's allowed me to give myself to you. And I'm more of a friend to you than I am my brother. Guess what? Some of you are closer to me than my brother. Now, by the way, I love him. I love his family. I pray for him. I texted him this morning. I told him I was praying for him. And I love my brother. When I see him, I'll give him a hug. We'll talk. Everything will be fine. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. By the way, did you know you can have a friendship with Jesus Christ? He said he is your friend. When's the last time you just sat down and talked to him as a friend? Here's a statement I had to learn through a process of time. Brother Mike, prayer is not as hard as I thought it was. I just got to talk to him like my friend. Do you know I tell God jokes? Before 6 o'clock one morning this week, I pulled my truck off the side of the road laughing my fool head off. I did. I told God a joke. I was laughing before I told him. I was listening to the radio. They said something about the euro was falling. And every once in a while, about 3 or 4 times a year, somebody will say, do you think the euro is the one world system? No. But I got to thinking about, somebody said that to me recently. And I got to thinking, wow, if the whole world went to the euro. And I don't know why I did this, but Africa was the first country I thought of. And I said, well, if they do, they'll have to call it the Afro. And I started laughing. I got a hold of Brother Neil a day or so later, and I told him, and he was laughing. He bent over my car, belly laughing. I got into a whole bunch of other countries that we ain't going to say in public, because it was hilarious. I just started, I think God was having a good time. I know I was. I imagine people that drove past me were thinking, what's wrong with that nut? But I thought it was funny. Did you know I talked to him just like I talked to you? Yesterday morning, I was out walking around the building very early. The sun was just coming up. And I said, Lord, I sure want to do something, and I'm not even sure what I want to do. But I'd like to help as many people as I can. And while I was walking, I was standing on this corner of the building out here, and the Lord gave me an idea. I brought it to the deacons tonight. We're going to do it. Say, what was it? I was just talking to him like I'm talking to you. That's all prayer is. He wants to be your friend. Well, you just don't have any friends. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It's not given and exchanged. It's just given. And as you start giving, can I tell you something? Other givers say, wow, there's a giver. They're like me. They're going to have fun too. And then we just start giving. Boy, we have all kinds of fun. You want to put the fun back in your marriage? Put the spark back in your marriage? How's the friendship? Most divorces happen in the first 3 years of marriage. Do you know when the second most divorces take place? Between 22 and 25 years of marriage, when the kids leave the nest. Because after 20 years of being apart from one another, all the kids are gone. They look at each other and say, who are you? I don't know you. I've been working like a fool for 20 years and I don't even know who you are. They get mad at each other and their marriages fall apart. Well, just so you know, mine's not falling apart. It's getting better. My mom and dad have been married since Noah got off the ark. And they're only a couple steps behind Brother and Mrs. Brining. Amen. Brother and Mrs. Brining were there before the ark, but they've been married forever. 50, how many years, Brother Brining? Three or four? 53. I didn't ask how old you were. Did I do okay? Okay, I got thumbs up on her on that one. All right. Can I tell you something? 53 years of marriage. Did you ever see those two together? They're nuts. They're fun. My wife and I go out to eat with my mom and dad and have more fun than I went on a trip with these old people. Like Arlene and Ellen. My sides hurt from laughing. I have never laughed that hard for 5 days straight. You've never seen anything till you see Mrs. Brining scared because Ellen's acting like a bear outside the window. And then she goes chews Gordon Taylor out for doing it. You talk about wild. You've never seen something till you seen Brother Taylor come out of his room dripping wet because he was going to take one of those spa baths, you know, and he turned the water on before it was full. He hit the pump and it threw him all the way across the room. He couldn't get the water off. It was great. We had fun as friends. Man, what a wonderful way to live. Can I tell you why people fuss and feud and fight and argue? Because they're not friends. My brother and I, we were fighting one day. I mean, we were beating the tar out of each other about every 20 seconds. My dad had had enough. You say, what'd he do? Did he beat you? He tried that. It didn't work. We went back to beating each other. He implied the worst punishment I had in all 47 years, 351 weeks of my life. He sat one of us on one side of the table, sat the other on the other side of the kitchen table, and made us sit there and look at each other for about 2 hours. I don't know if there's ever been more cruel punishment in my life, Brother Mike. We were saying, Dad, can you just beat us and get it over with? Nope, you're going to sit there and look at each other till you can get along with one another. Say, why did it take 2 hours? Because we weren't going to agree to get along with one another. Finally did. I don't know if they remember it, but I sure do. I had to look at his ugly face for 2 whole hours, man. It seemed like an eternity. Guess what? God wants to spend time with you. We didn't get along because we weren't acting like friends. When you start acting like friends, things get a whole lot better. And by the way, don't worry about what you're going to get. How about what you're going to give? Jesus called Judas friend. How do you love your enemy? Can I tell you how you can love your enemy? They don't have to love you back. You can love your enemy. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. What do you think Judas did to Jesus? Let me rephrase that. What do you think Judas was doing to Jesus as he called him friend? He was in the very act of it. And he said, friend? Whew. Wow. We've brought the world's philosophy of friendship into the church. Let's get rid of it and let's just take God's philosophy. The greatest love in all the world is that of friend. Oh, some friends you get to spend time with, some friends you don't. Some friends you want to spend time with, some you don't want to spend any time with. But they can still all be your friend. Some you shouldn't spend time with. If they're not living right, they're not doing right, they're going to pull you down, don't spend time with them, but they can still be your friend. You can be a better friend by not spending time with them. Don't participate in their wrong. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this." Friendship is the glue, holds all of your relationships together. I don't care if it's an in-law, outlaw, husband, wife, parent, child, church member, pastor, doesn't matter what it is. It's the glue. You put five pieces of wood and just stack them on one another, they're not as strong as this is. You glue them together. By the way, you can't tear them apart without destroying the whole thing. That's why you can't stop being a friend. Either you are or you're not. How's your friendship? Ought to be an awful lot of people at this altar tonight. How's your friendship with God? How's your friendship in your home? How's your friendship with every relationship in your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today," our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I really don't know, but I'd like to know. I'm not asking to join this church. Not asking to have some experience, not asking to get baptized or anything else. In a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, we could take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure as you walk out those doors tonight, you're 100% sure of heaven." Who'd say, "Preacher, I didn't know that, but I would like to know." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "There's some friendship stuff that I need to shore up in my life. Maybe I've had the wrong or just not doing it right, but preacher, there's something in that sermon that I personally needed tonight." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands.